This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
Have you ever had a biblical evaluation of your congregation? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come into this world to walk where we walk, and to know the temptations that confront us, but also to know the reception of the gospel of Jesus Christ for one who is burdened with sin. Make us faithful in the proclamation of that gospel, that you have come to suffer and to die, that we might live forever. And so, O God, give us the grace today, from your word, to take a look at our congregations and to see whether or not they are living up to what they have promised to be your witnesses in a given community. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, someone has said, man is not an island unto himself. The Word of God says, it is not good for man to be alone. We are social beings, needing not only a relationship with our Lord, but a relationship with those who are His. We need to be together. So as Christians, we come one by one into the kingdom of God. But after we have arrived there through faith in Jesus Christ, we seek out a congregation. And the congregation are those people who have a common faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, as we do. With them, we are able to share our problems and our joys. With them, we can teach one another With them we can be comforted when we need comfort, and we can rejoice when it's time to rejoice. That's what Peter knew. And scattered throughout his little world, there were a lot of these churches. And so he had written them a letter, and we have gone through that in the past days. And now we know that it's time for him to say, "Sincerely yours," but he doesn't do it exactly like we did. He said, "This is a short letter to let you know how your congregation should function." So let me read for you today just a portion of this last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5, where he says, beginning in verse 1, "To the elders among you, I appear as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That far the text. Now you notice here that he is talking to the people about the congregation, the people that God has put under your charge. And he gives us some excellent suggestions as to how that should be organized. It is in the light of this that I think that any congregation should have a biblical evaluation each year. It doesn't have to be professionally done. You don't have to hire someone to come from a big city and pay them an enormous fee. Just sit down as God-fearing people in your church and say, "Let's evaluate how we're doing." Now, you have to know first what you're supposed to be doing, what you've been called to do, and that is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to that community. It is not primarily to moralize. There will be morality in it, but that is not the primary reason. It is not even to do the social things, while there will be a social ministry to be done, but it is to tell the gospel, for there is no other group in your community that will tell the gospel but Jesus Christ's church. And that is why he has put you there. And if that were not the case, there would really be no need of your church. The service clubs can do many of the other things that the churches today are doing well, to be sure, and very important it is, but it is not the unique position, task of that church according to the Word of God. Now, Peter goes on to say that when you have gathered a group of people, there needs to be some kind of an organization. That organization, I believe, can be very simple. We have made it pretty profound in our day, pretty complex, and sometimes we don't see the mission of the church because of all of the things that have come into being to try to make it the church. Let's leave that as it is. But we do need to have what is known as an overseer. Some call it elders. There are all kinds of names. But because it is a name that I'm used to, I'm going to use the word pastor. A congregation needs to have a good pastor, male or female, black or white, rich or poor, highly, highly educated with a PhD degree, or one who has just the equivalent of a good theological education. A theological education he needs from an evangelical seminary that stays with the Word of God. You notice what Peter says here? Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. So we talk about the pastor being called. It is not good to say, we elected this person. It might have to be a process that you went through and had a ballot, but we called him. We call him. We don't hire him. He is God's representative in your midst, and he has a task to do. For he himself has had a call. Now, this does not have to be an emotional thing, that suddenly he was sitting in his office one day and bang, something hit him over the head. Now I've got to resign everything and go to the seminary and throw us deeper and deeper into debt because I have been called. I imagine that could happen. I don't want to rule it out, but I don't think that's a normal way. I can only take myself. And there will be some references to myself because that's the only way I can play it out as far as the life of a pastor is concerned. I had a strong feeling from a Bible camp where a minister said to me one day, walking down to the swimming place, have you ever considered the ministry? Nothing had been further from my mind. But from that hour on, I was always restless. That's where I wanted to be. I could see my shortcomings. I could see that this was not necessarily where I had any talent. But that's where I felt God needed me. It was not until I was a sophomore in college that I was firmly convinced of that. When I listened to another theological professor say, this is a task of the pastor. Pretty much what I'm saying to you today is what I heard from him. So remember, a call committee has a very, very important role to play. I've never been on a call committee. I don't know exactly what the call committees do. For I was sent to my first parish and the second one never had a call committee. But I think that if I were on a call committee, the first thing I'd want to ask the pastor, what is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him personally? Did you grow up in your baptismal covenant? Did you have a spiritual awakening when it all suddenly came together? Were you converted? These are important questions for a call committee. Very important. He goes on to say, that you are not to be greedy for money, but eager to serve. You know, friend, there's an awful lot of food for thought there. I personally have not met any, I don't think, who went into the ministry to get rich. If they did, they must be sorely disappointed. No, there were many other ways, if we wanted to spend those 7 or 8 years in preparation for the ministry, to prepare ourselves for professions that would pay us a lot more. One of my good friends, my lab partner in biology when I was in college, went on to the medical school. He never stopped ribbing me about the money that he was making. So one day he invited me to his home. They lived not far from us. And he said after we had finished a delicious dinner, brand new home, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing just fine. What did you make? And I said, I made $2,400 a year this year. I had a 10-room parsonage that I had to heat with a stoker. And God gave my wife and me a little girl. How fortunate we are. He laughed, giggled. His wife got up to get more coffee, and he said, do you know, last year I made over $24,000. And I thanked him for telling me about this, and I wished him well. But that would not have been for me. You cannot go into the ministry for money. Now, God does say, that the witness or the pastor is worthy of his hire. And congregations ought to really know that. And I can say that I have lived with one that always did know it and took care of me very, very well. No, it is not that you keep him poor or her poor, but it is simply that we cannot have that as our means of going into the ministry. However, I think if Peter were living in 2002 or 2011 or whatever we might be in, he would have something else to say. You know, gentlemen, you have a temptation. And ladies, you have a temptation. The pastor might not make a great deal of money, but he occupies a place of prominence in the community. I have been invited to one dinner after another where I'm sure I was the only person there who was not a millionaire. But I often sat at the head table with my wife. Prominence. There's something that this old community still wants to recognize, the clergy. We have places of prestige almost. I hate to think of it in this way, but what else would you call it? If you see that prominent place, don't try to go into the ministry and get satisfaction that way. Or you understand what Peter said. Don't look for that, but look for serving. He goes on to say, as a pastor, do not lord it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Lord it over them. I have sometimes heard pastors say, maybe they had a reason, I don't know. I love my brothers and sisters in the ministry. They seem to have the answer for all things. They seem to feel that there's someone God has dropped down out of heaven. And if those dumb lay people in that church would only listen to me, we'd get things done. Now you ought to be the authority, the spiritual authority. When they come with a question and you answer with the word of God, never should we say no. You may be right. There are two or three ways of looking at this. Thus saith the word of God. That's where your place is. But when it comes to the building of a church or something else like that, maybe there are others in the congregation who are going to be there a lot longer than you and I are, who know more about building a church than we do. We built a lot of church. And when we got to that part where we were going to put on the final sanctuary that would seat somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 people, I was put on the building committee. I went to one meeting, and I saw that was not the place for me. I know nothing about building. I know nothing about the arts of what's best lining and so forth and so on. So I said to the chairman, make me a member ex officio and then get somebody else who's got talent in this line. I don't have any. I'll come whenever you want me to come. I will be willing to drop in once in a while, but it's much better for me to use my time to be out with somebody who really needs my services where I should be adequate with the sick, the despondent, the dying, those whose lives are in dismay. There I can be. Let me. He did. And as far as I know, I went to two or three meetings. Never get that idea, lording it over somebody. I'm your pastor. Don't you respect me? Yes. I asked for that respect. I have to demand it or I can't serve there. But as long as it is tied to the word of God, yes. And be fearless in what you have to say. If people are living in sin, tell them so. If they're cohabitating, tell them so. This is a hard job, but there we are the authority, and we don't lord it over people or how to build a church. Respect people of all ages. I think that our youth, in some cases, not in all, I realize, have had to carry quite a load. They believe the gospel as truly as I do, you do, perhaps. They are willing to share it better than some in my generation. But these are people who will come to you and tell you that if you want to reach our own, you've got to have a little bit different worship style. Maybe someday they'll be interested in all of this liturgy. But right now they aren't. Let them have a contemporary service. No truer words have ever been spoken. And I don't particularly care for contemporary services and seldom go to one. And I don't know if I ever had any. I gave that to one of my associates, and they did a good job with it because they were young and they knew what to do, and it was in their bloodstream. But it wasn't long before that was one of the largest, if not the largest, church worship service on our Sunday morning. Listen to the young people. But then, young people, when you have had your say and your counsel has been taken seriously, then don't forsake the wisdom of the elders. They have a few years on you. They've seen some of the hard knocks. They've seen the need of the church that you haven't seen. Respect them as the people of God. Now we could go on to another level, and that would be to the synod or to the district or whatever you call it in your denomination. But time does not permit this today. I simply want to say that don't you think it's time to sit down as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus in your congregation and say, how are we doing? How's the pastor-congregation relationship? Pretty good? I'm sure that it is in many cases. What is our mission, really? What are we really focusing on? Is it the lutefisk supper? Is it the social gathering for some particular reason? Is it making some money for some little deal that you're going to pull off that's going to be very nice? You're going to buy mittens for kids? Fine, I'm not preaching against this. But you see, if you have a good biblical stewardship program, the money comes there. And here you find place for the mittens and all else that you need. I know the fellowship is good, but just remember what your mission primarily is. When the secondary takes over the basic of bringing Christ to that community, then your congregation is not fulfilling the job that Jesus Christ gave it to do. Well, Peter is at the end of his letter, and so he writes, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is true grace of God. Stand fast in it. And that was his wish and his prayer for the people of his day, and through his inspired word that has found its way into the Holy Scriptures, it is his prayer for us and our prayer for one another. Continue to evaluate your congregation that you may do the best job possibly as a congregation in the community where you have been placed. Amen. Praise is thy faithfulness, O God. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you work within our hearts to bring us to faith, to give us grace and strength to live a life that is a witness of yours to you. God, we also pray that we who are pastors may be faithful in the proclamation of the word, and that those faithful lay people who teach Sunday school, sing in a choir, make visits to seek to help people who are in difficult times, that you will strengthen us all. Send us back to the scriptures to learn what our job is, and then, O God, send us forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and the internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or for some other special occasion. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any size to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.